You say it's not sinister on their part, but as somebody who campaigned in the last election and who's been in that area, certainly you must have been privy to the fact that this squatting was a danger to the airport. The question is, why is it that in that responsible position, it didn't appear to us that you flagged that at all?
I did, actually, and I told everyone that is living over there, if elected, I'm going to bring a solution to this situation. And this is the reason why a solution is coming. And we have taken full responsibility in making sure that this situation does not continue. And that is the reason why this Prime Minister spoke to it the way she has spoken to it. Because when I invited the Minister of Housing up there, I invited him up there on the basis that we had to do something about it. And that is where the process began.
But let me ask you, I come back to the fact that you have undertaken the responsibility of doing a survey for yourself as the parliamentary representative. A formal study was done of that area previously, and this is what
in November 2007.
This is what is referred to by the Prime Minister as having taken place back in 2007. Are we going to have any such study right now? Is it necessary to do that in light of the government's proposal to move these people?
Well, I mean, what I'm doing is following the exact framework that they use. And I have a copy of that study, and I've started to use the same framework. The challenge there, David, is to find the people at home. So you have to be constantly going. We were using
Who did the previous study? Another MP?
The National Housing, Ministry of Housing.
So you don't think that that study would have a greater degree of credibility if somebody at that another government department or an agency like that did it rather than you undertaking it as the MP?
But it certainly can. But if I'm using the same framework to submit to them to guide their information, I mean, 6 to 1.5 dozen next. You're saving money on the one hand when I'm doing it, but I'm using the same framework.
Were you accustomed to doing surveys of this nature?
But that was part of my training. I mean, the reality of it is that's what I had to do when I was training.
Okay. All right.
But I mean, I'm not going to split hairs over that. If you feel that...
Well, you know, no. My point is that it is reasonable for other people to ask you these questions.
Agree.
Those are the questions I put into you.
Yeah, and I'm not going to let that be an issue. Right? If it is more comfortable for the National Housing or Ministry of Housing to do the survey, so be it. I will share the information.
So it is on the basis of this survey that one will then determine how many people fall below the poverty line and are then eligible for governments. What is it? A grant? Is it a loan? What is it?
It is the same protocol that we are using. You know there's a protocol for people currently in existence, the Rural Development Commission, where there are people who would have lost a house through fire, old people who can't find housing, people who just don't have and will never earn enough to be able to find a housing solution. The government intervenes in providing a housing solution there. It's the same protocol. But what we are saying is that the maximum that will go into it for a house spot is $20,000.
That maximum.
The same protocol.
No, but I just need clarity as to what is it, a loan or a grant?
It is not a loan nor a grant. It is a solution given because under RDC, well, look, it can be determined as a grant because under RDC, the people are given the houses to live in and the house spot. All right? And that's the same protocol.
Do you realize, that whether you're dealing with nationals or non-nationals, there is something about this that rubs people the wrong way? They are saying, but how is it that these people can get up and go and squat, and then the government can come and assist them when they got all these other people out there who want a housing solution and can get none?
But I just responded to that. The majority of the people who are out there, the Barbadians, are people who are currently seeking solutions through government and can't find any solutions. And in the interim,
squat.
That's where they found themselves.
So
the non-nationals, hold on, the non-nationals who are there are people within a different income group. Are there either people who are living with a husband or a wife? Okay? And those people are not being given any grant of any sort.
The non-nationals are getting, you say the non-nationals are getting no grants of any sort?
They're not getting grants. No, they're not.
Not even if they fall below the poverty line.
But who are they living with? Is it a husband or a wife? That is Barbadian.
You know, you're a politician, and I think you've got to come to terms with this reality.
These are the demographics that are there.
Fine, but this is the potential challenge you face doing it yourself, which is it will assume a political connotation, even when you do your best, irrespective of whether that squares with what somebody else does or not. The very fact that you're out of the blocks first, and you're well-meaning, I understand that. You're trying to save money and all of that. But when you finish, you're going to still find yourself in a situation where people are going to mistrust the whole process because it has been done by you. Not because you're a bad person, but because there is that mistrust of politicians generally.
And I say to you, and I will repeat myself so everybody can hear, I am prepared to bring back the Ministry of Housing so that they can go ahead and continue the work. All right? Mm-hmm. But what I do know, and I'm glad that I went in there personally, what I do know with a high degree of certainty is that the information that is being spewed currently is incorrect. And that there are majority of Barbadians who are over there, and that Rock Hall is not all dumb. And that is where we have to really do the separation so that we can have a clear understanding of what is taking place. Because there are people who are living on Rock Hall that are not living on no dump and are not squatting.
So how far did you get with your actual study or survey?
There's one area which is closer to the fencing to the airport property that has to be completed. And then there are some people who, and one of the things that you need to know is that people who moved in within recent times, let's say within the last 4 months, you will still have to go back to them. And some many of those are on the dump itself. All right? I am going to make sure that with the Minister with Responsibility for Housing, that the information is passed to them and their team can go back and they can clean up the information and have it ready. But what we are doing is making sure that we identify those people who are living below the poverty line so that a solution can be found. And many of them, their names will show up either at Welfare, their names will show up at Road Development Commission, Urban Development Commission, and National Housing Corporation. Many of them will be people who move from St. Lucie, St. Peter, Christ Church, St. Michael, some from various parts of St. Philip, St. John. Many parts of Barbados they're moving from because they can't have. Many of them will be people who had family disputes, got put out of the house, can't find anyway.
The only concern here is that people are worried about the signal that it sends, that in all the circumstances that you have just outlined, others will say, you know what, I can't find any place, let me look for a piece of government land or somebody else's land and squat on it, and if I stay there long enough, and if we can get enough people to come as if we're signing a petition, then the government will be forced to do something about it. That is another way of interpreting it. And that is why people are saying, look, I don't like the signal that this sends.
But in as much as people will say that, we still have to make sense and be responsible. And I'm saying to you, Mr. Ellis, that currently where I stand and where several others who are involved in social work stand, and their voices should be heard. You have people who are being thrown out of houses because of family disputes. You have people who have nowhere to turn. They will never be able to purchase a house. They will never be able to acquire land. And those are the people who resort to squatting. So when you couch it that way, my response to you is that they're doing exactly that. And they're doing it not out of ill will or being sinister. They're doing it because they have no choice, no way to turn. So the scenario that you have just used is exactly what is driving people to where they are. There ain't nobody that hide in and say, I could go and squat. There are people who are squatting because they have exhausted all other options. Those are the ones that we have to fear to find. I want to hear the social workers on this, because I don't know that anybody is going to be so sinister to say, look, piece of government land over there, let me go and live on it for 10 years and then own it. Those people will be showing up. But when you look at it, and that is why it's important to go in and find the information yourself. These are people who are already in the system through RDC, through UDC, through National Housing Corporation, through welfare, who have exhausted all options. You can't ask a man to sleep on the street. You can't ask a man to sleep under a tree. You can't ask a man to search for a cave. We have to control this conversation. And we have to be very caring and very humane in all of this. And I'm saying that those people have exhausted all options now. There are people who would then use the opportunity to get in there and seek to exploit the situation. This is human behavior.
Because somebody says here that they know of somebody, squatters renting to multiple tenants for as much as $500 a month with light water and internet too. Are you aware of that?
I am aware that there is Rock Hall and there's the Rock Hall dump. They will have to identify where the persons are. I am saying to you that there are people who would exploit the situation. And the information would throw up all of that. And I'm not going to be led down any path to believe that I, as an MP, or being part of any responsible government, knowing full well that people have exhausted all options in finding a solution, and have resorted to squatting, and that we are going to join any conversation to say that these people were sinister and we should be unkind to them. We have to find a solution. We have found solutions to many other things in this country. And I see nothing wrong to finding a solution for people who work for $600 a month.
But let me ask you something. Surely, that's not the only place in Barbados that people are squatting. And surely, they are not the only ones who have been confronted by these problems. If you're going to find a solution for them, what about the rest?
You have to look at the nature of the squatter, the type of property they're on. Is it somebody's private property? Can it be compulsorily acquired? If it can be, that's a solution. Is it government land? Can it be used to help convert those people into regularizing their living conditions? Then if it can be, that's a solution. But when I'm speaking to a dump, where we all know...
But the people at Rock Hall, some of those people resented the notion that they were living on a dump. I saw that in the press.
Well, a lot of that could be pride and ignorance. Don't let us get carried away by those petty things. Let us get carried away with the hardcore, humane issues, Mr. Ellis. All right? And I'm not going to allow a person's pride to blur a discussion that seeks to regularize the living conditions of people who themselves know that they are not comfortable with what they're doing.
So what's the next step here, Minister Weir?
The next step is for us to find the right location so that we can relocate the people on the dump, because I'm not speaking to no Rock Hall in the same general way that people are speaking. And then when we can do that, what we're going to do, those Barbadians who are living below the poverty line, we are going to take responsibility as a government and make sure that we can have them relocated at a minimal cost, so that we can get them off that dump.
What percentage of these people voted in the last election?
I'd be very honest with you. I didn't canvass Rock Hall in the Rock Hall dump in the last election.
You didn't have to canvass them to know how many of them voted.
No. David, I don't know. I didn't canvass the dump. The dump is a place where people came in after the elections too. So I'm being honest with you. I didn't cancel the dump.
You got any sense of how many came in after the elections?
People are constantly coming in there. This is no life, but the people in Rock Hall.
I find it amazing that a politician running an election campaign wouldn't have any sense of what the voter turnout would have been in an area such as that. I didn't ask if you canvassed the area. I asked you what was the turnout.
Let me give you, if you want a turnout, MPF1. The PF1 turnout was over 60%.
And that was part of that particular...
James Whitpenny Hall, that's what I'm saying to you.
Okay.
James Whitpenny Hall, Rock Hall. But when you turn it into Rock Hall and speaking about the dump, that's very confusing the issue.
All right. The other point, somebody here suggests to you that perhaps if you went in the direction of getting an independent entity like UE or some agency like that to do the survey, you would have a greater degree of credibility attached to it. How do you respond to that? Rather than
I agree. I agree 100%. My conversation with you is not to justify anything that I have done in terms of compiling information to the disadvantage of any credible entity.
Understood.
My conversation here with you is to tell you that I have intimate knowledge of what is taking place because I made it my business to know as an MP. All right, but any credible institution is welcome to come and carry out the survey.
You got any time to take any questions on this from members of the public?
Yes, I will.
All right, we'll stay on the line. So we have Minister Indar Weir, who's MP for that particular constituency, the one in which the squatter problem, Rock Hall and St. Philip, is taking place at the moment. Let's take a call. Down to Brass Tacks. Down to Brass Tacks. So we have St. Philip South MP in there. We are on the line with you. Good afternoon.
I'm still here, David.
Yes. Do you have any questions for Minister Weir? That's to the caller who is on the line. Good afternoon. Down to Brass Tacks. Yes, speak up.
Yeah, please. Good afternoon. I don't have a comment. I don't have a question for Minister. I have a comment.
Sure.
And I'm a little confused. I'm originally from St. Philip. I went to school at the Industry High School, so I knew there was always a Rock Hall. I had friends who went to school with me who resided in Rock Hall. And I'm a little concerned about this issue with the dump, because I know where the dump was or where the dump is. And I also know that there was a part where Ronnie Cox shop and thing, the late Ronnie Cox shop was, that was Rock Hall. And I'm wondering if that, the old traditional Rock Hall, is being confused with the dump that is part of Rock Hall.
This is the point. And I'm glad you intervened, because someone who would have lived in the area and understand the area would understand what I'm trying to point out when I'm saying people are speaking in broad terms about Rock Hall. Over by Rock Hall, there's the Maria Holder Nursery School that was constructed by the Maria Holder Trust. That is in Rock Hall. It is certainly not on no dump.
Actually, you remember the area already? You had a big shop that it used to be run by a man called Randy Cox, I believe.
Yes, that's correct.
That's the old Rock Hall. So where the squatters are would be on
where the dump right, was.
On the right of the road, which would run into the back of the airport fence.
Yes, down the Penny Hole dump.
Okay. No, I understand. So we're actually talking about two Rock Halls and not Rock Hall in a general sense.
That is the point that I'm trying to make. If you speak to Rock Hall in general terms, then you're confusing the issue with the squatting.
Okay.
No, because we need to deal with the squatting.
Correct.
Because I am not sure that the old Rock Hall, let me refer to it as the old Rock Hall, I am not sure that the old Rock Hall is a risk to the airport, because that was there long before the airport was developed. To that extent, so I'm just trying to get it clear. Mm-hmm. I try to provide some information to the public at large who are not familiar with the general area. The other thing is, as it relates to the squatting, based on the newspaper article a few weeks ago or a week or so ago, I believe it was the Sunday Sun, where there are now a two-story wall concrete structure going up. And that concerns me because I can't understand how you could be squatting without any particularly legal rights to the ownership of land, and you can take it upon yourself to commit funds to build a massive two-story concrete bungalow, which would indicate some sense of permanency in doing that.
I know the point, and because of my knowledge of the area, my thing is that when I went in there up to as late as June, that concrete. But apparently there are some issues surrounding why that is there, which I would not put on the air at this point in time. Okay, the reality of it is that construction will not go any further.
That's fine. No, we need to address we need to address that dump issue. It smacks of lawlessness and indifference on part of a number of organizations and authorities, and we need to address it. Last Friday I called the program and we had a bad connection. I got cut off. I did some research listening to the program as it relates to the cost of airline accidents, and the cost of an average airline accident is $22.6 million. That's the average. Mm-hmm. That's the average cost. And as I said then, and I will say now, if we think that safety is expensive, try having an accident, and we will see where the expense really is. I just want to make another quick point, Mr. Ellis, with your permission.
Sure.
As it relates to this garbage situation, today would be the start of the third week in my area, Carlington Terrace in Stevens Hill, where we have not had a collection. In the last 12 weeks, we have had three, including a five-week stretch when I had to call and complain, and we got it resolved. And when I moved to this area in 2006, we got one garbage collection a week. It used to be on a Monday. That's all we are asking for, one collection a week. I heard an excerpt in the news this morning attributed to the Minister of the Environment talking about changing laws to prevent people from putting trees and branches and all kind of things in the dump. And people, and I heard Mr. Padmore saying, people not making use of the bulk facility. When people dump fridges and beds and stoves and things, and they are caught, they should be severely punished. I have called about a year and a half or two ago the dump removal, and the Santander the SSA sent a truck here at no cost to me and remove a fridge, a stove, and I think it was a sofa or something. So there's no reason to be people going around this country dumping that kind of stuff. The Santander Service Authority takes care of that. But the day-to-day garbage collection is getting progressively worse, and it needs to be address. We are opening up ourselves to an outbreak of leptospirosis and other rat-borne diseases in this country, and it needs to be addressed. And I don't think that trying to change the law is a priority. If you search carefully, there are enough laws in Barbados on the books that can deal with this problem, and they're not being enforced, and that is the problem we have. We have laws, but we have minimal or no enforcement. We need a regular garbage collection. And if the Ministry of the Environment and National Beautification cannot guarantee this country, the districts in this country, a garbage collection of just 1 week, I mean one collection a week, then there is something fundamentally wrong. And we need to go back to the drawing board. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon.
To Mr. Weir, now let me start off with this squatting. Now, I have in front of me, you could pull it up, David, August the 26th, 2007. Minister Trevor Prescott, squatters told all will be well. I want to find out, and he was dealing with people in the Blenheim area, 20 houses had got notification to move. And Minister Prescott told them they have to go through the protocol. Now, I want to know from Mr. Weir what has urged him to give the Prime Minister information to deal with this squatting in Rock Hall or on the dump. Because one is for water and one I understand is in the flight path of the aircraft. I want Mr. Weir to tell the public, if this thing went through the usual protocol that Mr. Prescott said, and his delivery to the people in Blenheim, and I want to know from him, say here the cabinet member to Prescott, if those houses in Blenheim have already been moved. That question goes out to Mr. Weir.
Let me respond to the whole issue of why did I give the information to the Prime Minister? You would have heard me mention earlier that a study was done back in November 2007. The information was already there. It was just a bill on the information. But a couple of things we need to know, and I want people really to bring a humane heart and a humane conscience to this. The situation at Rock Hall is not the same as other areas of squatting. You have people living on a dump and not inside of a dump, as is being conveyed. But equally, you got methane gases that will be released from a dump. Dumps are prone to combustion, and you can get explosions at any point in time. This is a critical and more serious matter that we have to address. All right? I see many little children, some of the brightest, I must add, because you got children who go into most of the what we call schools of excellence in terms of grammar schools in Barbados, who are living on the dump. And in my conscience, I don't know how I can want children to continue to grow up living on a dump when I know that they are prone to many things, including cancer, from living on a dump. And that is what is critical for me. In terms of what Comrade or Minister Prescott is working with, similarly, the information that they would provide would be one, just like the National Housing Corporation would have done, to find a solution for the people. Now, whether or not they have been moved, I don't know. But what I do know is that I am not going to live with myself knowing that people are living on a dump and pretend that those people should be scattered and not be cared for, because we feel it is okay to treat people anyway.
I think
that is what I know.
I think that part of the problem, Minister Weir, is that this is just another example of how the system is not properly policed. Things are not followed up. Then we create the crisis where people are exposed to carcinogens and that sort of thing because of the absence of the kind of supervision and policing that should take place. And how now, having created that crisis, we have to do something about it that people believe is unfair. They feel it's unfair for others to have to abide by the law, pay their way, and then for others to be able to come and slip through this way because of the absence of the policing, the absence of the supervision, and that this is where Barbados is and where Barbados continues to go. That is the issue.
David, you're entirely right if you want to couch the conversation like that. But we do know that government has a responsibility and a very heavy social responsibility to look after people who can't help themselves.
The government also has then to say to us, What is the national problem that we are facing with squatting? Today it is on that type of land, but then there are people with private lands that have been going through this kind of battle for years and have gotten nowhere. The government must use this, ideally, as an opportunity to focus on this problem at the national level because the bell is there. You've got six men's. You've got several other areas where it exists.
And I couldn't agree with you more. And that is the reason why the Prime Minister spoke to this matter. Because this government has recognized that we have a responsibility to address these issues. And we're not going to let these drag on and drag on as they did in the previous administration, Mr. Ellis. The hardcore reality is that you have to start somewhere. But where I would like to have this conversation anchored is how do you prioritize? And where do you prioritize in terms of the risk involved? But we do recognize that you must
at this point in time, we have to, and that is why it's important to do the survey, because there are people who would take advantage of the situation. Let's put that there. But equally, there are people who just simply cannot do any better. And we're going to have to regularize these situations. And I agree with you that the policing must take place as well. So there are a combination of things that must now start to kick in. But in spite of all of that, the conversation cannot be, and I hope that now that I have intervened and brought clarity, that we will hear a different conversation. And I recognize a number of things, you know, Mr. Ellis. You're going to have the political confusion. People who will use this to gain political mileage because they have nothing else to use. But we will defend that. You're going to have those who don't understand and who don't care to understand. But equally, you must have a majority who will now understand that these are people who are already in the system calling on previous administrations, administration after administration, for help. They don't have an income that, by any stretch of the imagination, will ever allow them to purchase a house or a piece of land. And that this is where a government social responsibility is. And if they are already in the system, don't come to me with an argument that we have thousands of Barbadians who you got to look after first when they are the very people who are there.
Let me get some other contributors to this discussion here. Hello?
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, may I direct a question or two to the minister?
A question, not two.
All right. The minister... having been privileged, I want to preface what I'm going to be saying. Having been privileged at the time myself and a former minister of government of seeing people living on a dump in the Philippines, and the outcome of it was the avalanche and several people died. As a result of that, it became a tourist attraction. Now, you have said that you have done a study. My question to you, as the minister responsible for agriculture and minister responsible for the constituency of St. Philip South, I have not heard the voice of the Minister of National Housing and Lands. That is to say that I believe that this is a matter that is that serious, in the sense that as much as the pattern that you have just said, I want to ask these questions. Utilities went into that area. Obviously, there's lights, there's water, and maybe it's structure of road.
There are no utilities on the dump.